So is that what your Wednesday afternoon was like, folks? Yeah. Jimi Hendrix got it. He got the distortions early on. There's a lot of them in this potentially fabulous country of ours. And Wednesday morning was a wonderful part of that. Joy in Georgia. We can do it. We can do it. It's going to be hard. So we move on and we'll see. I'm glad to know that our Congress representatives are on the right track. Thanks for being here. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local from the parking lot. And I'll say right off the bat, couldn't do it without KMUN staff. Thanks, Nevi. Nevada's on the other side right now. Thanks, Graham and Emma and Susan and Janet and Joanne and Kathleen and everybody who's been making this station keep going so beautifully. All of the programmers, Homegrown Radio. I feel so, so fortunate. I want to send out some healing blessings to the country and to some individuals, Michelle, Margarita, Judith, Shalene, Craig, Charlie, Ben, Frederica, New York, Susan, Josh, and to you, whoever you are, whatever kind of healing you need. I think we all do. And, of course, to my friends in Squamish, to Sydney and Robin and Omaha and Tessa and Sev and Seashelt and all the Nova Scotians, wherever you may be. And we're going to do it with the arts. I started last night. I started this program last night. And my first guest is the one who made it possible. Ryan Hume is here with me. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. And Ryan is the faculty advisor for Rain Magazine, Clatsop College, the literary and arts annual magazine. As a matter of fact, this was the 51st year. Is that right?
Well, the years get a little sketchy. We explain that in the last year's edition in the 50th. But generally, we've been publishing since 1969. Also, just wanted to say way to go out starting the show with that was Hendrix, Star-Spangled Banner at Woodstock, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, I don't know
Good
about
choice.
The Woodstock, but that's, yeah. I don't know where the recording was made, but yeah, fantastic. And I felt that it was just perfect for these times. So, yeah. So, as Ryan said, this was actually 2020 Rain Magazine, number 51, whatever the years are. But I saw it last night. Well, that's not 2020. What happened, Ryan?
There were definitely a variety of things that went in. If you have a copy of the magazine, you can look at the staff photo and realize that that was taken, I believe it was 3 days before we went on quarantine.
I didn't notice.
On complete lockdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a variety of things that happened.
Yeah.
The students decided that we didn't want to ask for advertising because, you know, the majority are, you know, retail businesses and restaurants that help us out every year. And we just kind of assumed it was bad to ask when they were laying off staff and things like that.
Yeah.
So it took us a lot of time to just make up private donations.
Well,
and then, of course,
I think it's a miracle that it came out. It's gorgeous. Well, I say that every year, I know. And
thank you.
And when I saw this before I got the hard copy, thank you very much, and I was looking at it online, I went, yes, but who is that little critter in there? I thought it was live until I saw Lindsay Bones involved. And
exactly.
I knew
yeah,
the whole
she,
story.
She is
she's a taxidermist. Yes.
And when she showed me this bookcase that she made, you know, and we always try to take every talent that a student editor has in the staff and, and utilize it as best we can. That just kind of put it all together. It ended up being quite a collaboration. We ended up reshooting it. Yeah, we had actually, you know, the inside cover without the mask was the original cover that we had shot. But then when we reopened things after, you know, pandemic stuff started happening,
it's
we thought we should make Diane safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. So wait a minute. So Diane was chosen before the pandemic.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, because this
it's just a beautiful piece, and it, like I said in the intro, it's the year of the rat in the Chinese zodiac, so it just seemed to, you know, kind of work together, and then everything else happened.
Well, this guy looks more like a mouse, but I'm not sure. Lindsay is also grew up here in Astoria and has many talents, and at some point, just a few years ago, she decided to go to taxidermy school, and she uses her skills in many good ways. So I'm delighted that you folks found a way to incorporate this. The theme this year, break, broke, breaking. And that also came before the pandemic?
Yeah, and actually another student, so Elizabeth Winters picked that last year, and it was essentially kind of an inside joke because when the printer was driving our magazines out, they got pulled over and arrested for speeding, and the all the magazines right before our reading were they were impounded.
Oh my
And
God.
The driver was incarcerated. So
what?
We came up with that over a year ago, which seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so that's how we came up with that idea that, you know, rain was kind of breaking free. And then we kind of broadened it to that, and essentially breaking, I just chose the way that Merriam-Webster's dictionary put the particular, you know.
Grammatical
tenses.
Kind of. Yeah,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. So, you know.
That's how they did it.
Did you tell, let me, for full disclosure, I tried to join the Facebook coverage, which was on Clatsop College Facebook page at 7 o'clock, and I was very encouraged because it looked like everything was going to be a go. But because I live in rural America, as in Browns Meet, Oregon, I was unable to really access the program. It was so frustrating. Karen Bain gave her first lines, and I had read the poem already and was so excited that she was going to be reading, and then it disappeared and jumped ahead 5 minutes because everything was stop and start. So I finally took advantage and about halfway through joined the Zoom, and it was so impressive. It's so exciting. The poetry, the prose, the artwork is all fantastic. But I shouldn't say but, and enhanced so much hearing and seeing, even in little boxes on Zoom, the student writers. And what's the age range in your in this RAIN copy?
Do you mean from the actual staff? Or?
No, I mean from the contributors.
I think probably from, and this is just an estimate, but it's probably from 20 to 74.
So it's any community member can submit for this. Okay, so let's back up a little bit for people who
Also, just wanted to say sorry that you had trouble getting on. I'm not sure if other people did. It is on tape.
Oh, good.
If other people want to check it out,
from
start to finish, it should be available. I'll have more info on this, but also I just need to give props to. So I was running the Zoom room, and Julie Kovich, the PR person from CCC, was running the Facebook broadcast of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best that we could do, and it seems like a lot of people were able.
I think most people
to tune in.
Most people had no problem. I am not a member of Facebook, and I live in unreliable internet service territory. I think that combination, it pops up all the time. Your internet is connection is. And so I think it was a personal affront. So kudos to Julie for getting it on, and kudos to the whole team for making this happen despite all the craziness, because the RAIN, I think one of your people said, well, the food isn't as good this year. I had to laugh at that. Because usually RAIN is a public reading up at the college, and there's a great spread laid out for all of us, and it's a real joyous reunion. So the fact that you were able to get it together at all was pretty amazing. And
that's true. And I do hope to get good food to people hopefully next summer with the next edition.
Yeah, why don't you tell us right now, before either one of us forgets, what's the story on folks who are interested in submitting for RAIN Magazine?
So submissions are open now. For the next issue, they'll be open till March 30th, is about as far as we can call it. We're going to put a gang together, new gang, student staff, for the spring quarter. So it will be a little later than we generally put things out. I mean, obviously, this year was kind of an outlier, but but usually we publish kind of at the end of May, beginning of June at the latest. But if we're, you know, going into June and graduation and stuff like that, hopefully we can put together some sort of midsummer events.
That'd be great. So, you know,
hopefully we can all elbow them.
There are people
in person.
There are people who have never experienced RAIN. So let's back up a little bit. How do people become student editors? And what is possible to submit, and anything else you want to tell us about RAIN?
Sure. Anyone of any age can be a member of the staff. You can either sign up for the class. It's Writing 270, Literary Publications. If you've been in it before, you can also receive additional credit by becoming kind of a mentor at Reading 271. Or you can audit the course. And essentially, you know, you will learn editing and Photoshop and InDesign, which are kind of the industry standards for, you know, how to put a magazine together. It's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing it. And we have a new group every year. With the outgoing group, I always let them choose the next theme section because they come in, you know, with the last. So it gets kind of secular, which is nice. But so this one that we're working on now, we take general submissions on pretty much any topic. But the new theme section is healing, which Mandy Chrysler, yes, who was a one of the student editors last year, chose.
Good. And we can use it for sure.
I think we could.
Yeah. And do you teach all of the aspects of putting together the magazine and helping folks write and with this class and the design and all of that? Or do you have other staff folks? Other faculty, I should say.
I do. You know, and also, you know, it's pretty much the closest to like a fiction workshop that CCC offers as well. A lot of the student editors will bring their own work in, either, you know, with their name on it or anonymously or with a pseudonym or something. And we will go over their work. But, you know, the majority of people who are on staff do publish their work in a magazine because it's theirs. But I do try to bring in guest lecturers as well. You know, so no one wants to listen to me for 10 weeks.
Wow. How long have you been there doing this, doing RAIN?
At RAIN, I believe this we're coming into, this will be my fifth year.
We had, was Nancy Cook.
And I've been at the college for about 7 years.
Okay. Was Nancy Cook right before you? Was she the editor?
No, it was Allison Roosh.
Right.
Yeah, she did 2 years before I took over. She moved to Boston.
Right. Okay. Well, is it the staff that decides where the visual arts go mixed in with the literary arts? I'm asking for a specific reason.
You know, it kind of it depends on the year, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we have students who definitely are interested in a sort of serendipity between, a piece of art and a piece of writing. Other times, well, this year is especially odd because I ended up having to do most of that just
logistically. Okay. Well, I one of the poems I read before I saw the group, and then I heard the author, the poet, read it. And I was laughing both times because I, unfortunately, could identify with the whole thing. And that would be Robert Michael Pyle's The Naturalist Gets Fed Up with Nature. That's Bob Pyle.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Oh, my God. And, well, it's a short poem. I don't think he would mind if I read it.
I don't think I'll sue you. Yeah.
No. Well, and I want to mention across from it is Kirsten Horning's Encounter on 7th, a woodblock with the deer walking across the road in Astoria, a site that many of us have seen. And then in the back is Kirsten's, at the very end, a bear sighting on 26th. Now, I've lived in Brownsmead for 46 years. I have never seen a bear till I went to Alaska. I never in my adult life. So I wonder if this is really true, that there was a bear on 26. These are not photographs, if you know Kirsten. These are wood blocks.
Yeah, no, they're
wood blocks.
And so, I saw those actually in a gallery show. And, you know, I know Kirsten from the campus and was like, oh, gosh, we need to have those. So
I
received them.
I love her work, her birds and everything, yeah. But the way it fit in. So here's one for you folks. See if you can identify, especially if you live in the country. Was it strictly necessary for the lovely doe and her spotty fawns to eat all of the flower buds on my flocks? Or the thrushes, did they need every one of the red currants? You bees in my wall, I know I've encouraged you and built you little yellow porches, but did your last two swarms really have to take place in my living room? And yes, I am fond of the big brown bats that visit the bedroom many nights. But must their near-face flybys always come around 3 a.m. during really good dreams? Plus, I'm not sure that the thousands of flying ants that emerged in my studio last week were entirely authorized. The deer mice that plug the auto's heater again and again, the pack rats with their bushels of missing objects, the slugs that slide in on the kitchen floor, the long-legged spiders that catch the flies, oh yes, but then crap all over my books. And that's just the fauna so far. Oh, creatures, 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 how you occupy my life. Where would I be without you? So I thank you, Bob Pyle.
So good.
I love that, and especially since those mice that plug the auto's heater are with us as I speak. Ryan, tell us again, tell the listeners again what they need to do, number one, to listen to this. I think you had, did you say 82 entries?
Yeah, it was, considering that we generally have a lot of advertising pages, we had pretty much the same page count this year without any advertising.
Oh.
And so definitely a thicker book on content. But yes, so 82 different contributors, and some of them contributed, you know, more than one. I think Bob Pyle had 4 poems.
So there's
a lot of content in there. It is available at the CCC bookstore, CCC library, Lucy's Books. We're going to restock because they sold out.
Good.
It's at Jupiter's Books in Cannon Beach, and Cloud and Leaf in Manzanita. I believe there's going to be a secondary reading event that I'm not in charge of, that the Hoffman Center is going to be doing.
Oh, excellent.
South County
in Manzanita.
Reader.
That's actually North Tillamook County. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, so I'll send you info if I know more about that. But just to submit... or if you want to just look at the program, I believe all you have to do is go to CCC's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And there should be a link. I'm not sure if it's done yet.
Okay.
I know that there's some tech stuff that they were doing to get it up there. But eventually it should be there. I did an advertisement for submissions the other day where I looked like a super nerd. Which is up on YouTube, so you guys can probably check that out as well.
Okay, and that's till March 30th, the submissions deadline.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
March 30th, and Rain Magazine at clatsopcc.edu is where to send any queries or submissions.
Excellent. Okay, well, congratulations to you and to everybody for a job well done. And people... can contribute to Rain Magazine as well. Apropos of what you just said, it occurred to me, although we love to have our local businesses support things, if people decided to make some contributions, maybe we could have more submissions than advertisements.
It's true. But I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah. It's a community.
Honestly, paper doesn't get cheaper.
Right. Exactly.
Every year.
Thank you
so much. To have
so
a physical
much.
Object. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece. I'm holding it in my hand, Rain 51. I never thought I would say that about a mouse, dead or alive, but this is right there on the cover. So thanks again, Magazine.
Thanks to Lindsay Bones for that. And thank you, Carol, for having me on.
You bet. Ryan Hume, the faculty advisor at Clatsop Community College. You can, if you forget or you're driving and you didn't write down any of the information, you can get in touch with Clatsop Community College and get more information. Okay, take care. Onward to Rain 52.
Thank you,
take care. Bye-bye. Stay tuned, folks. I've got some exciting guests coming up. First, some music here at KMUN Astoria and KTCB in Tillamook. And thank you for being here and for supporting the arts. Yeah. They wanted to know, who are the terrorists? It's a really good question to be asking, especially, well, all the time, but especially this week. I think a lot of people have had their eyes opened. Insurgents, domestic terrorism, etc. Well, once again, it's the arts that are going to heal us. And I have two very exciting women here online. Fernanda, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm so glad you've joined me. And also Sarah. Sarah Turner.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Okay. So we have Fernanda D'Agostino and Sarah Turner, both from the Portland Mobile Projection Unit. Now, if you just heard that and you didn't know this was an arts show, what might you assume that is? I'm not sure, you know. In this day of COVID, it could be you driving around and giving shots or something. But no, they are driving around and making light. And they are doing it right here in Astoria. And it is going to be absolutely amazing. This is tomorrow evening, Saturday, January 9th. It is time for Astoria Art Walk. The Art Walk is actually happening these days between noon and 8 o'clock all over town. I'll hopefully get a chance to read you or just give you a quick hit on all of the galleries taking place, but those of you who live in this area know how rich it is. But Fernanda and Sarah are going to be doing their work after dark, which they're going to explain to us what it is they do, how they do it, and what we're going to be able to see. So it's at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, and there are four different locations. So I'll just give you a little bit of background on these two extraordinary women whom I have not met in person yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. Fernandez got her own virtual performance space, Luminal Performance Space, and for installations in corporate sculpture, interactive video, projective mapping and sound, and you've produced for the MPU, that is the mobile projection unit that the two of you have, has produced for PICA in Portland, Virtual Venice. Are we talking about Venice, Italy?
Yeah.
The biennial? Yep. That's a huge one. In San Francisco, in Hong Kong, in Russia. So this is an international experience. And I saw that you have gotten many awards, Fernanda. Bronson Fellowship, Flint Ridge Foundation, the NEA National. And the Precipice Fund and the Ford Family Foundation. And also, Sarah's got her credentials as well, experimentation with technical and community building. And the artistic director of Pink Noise. I don't know what that is, but I'm looking forward to finding out. And productions for the Northwest Film Center, the Spaceness Festival right here on the peninsula, the Long Beach Peninsula, and the Marfa Open Fest. So, and then you've got a musician, Crystal Cortez, who's working with you as well. So that's just some of the background, folks. And I'm going to ask Fernanda and Sarah to tell us what is going on with Mega Light Installations Ignite. They're going to ignite Astoria. So tell us, what is this all about? How does it happen?
Well, the title of the whole project, all four pieces together, was Sea Creatures.
Ah.
And last summer, Annie called me to find out whether I could help with the Ignite Festival. And just in conversation with her, I realized that having Sarah be part of the whole project would allow us to do a lot more than I could do by myself. So I asked Sarah to join me. We're doing four different sites. Each of them will have a different sort of mood. One of them will be at Ava. That's where Crystal will be performing.
Okay, let's just, that's Astoria Visual Arts. And Annie is Annie Eskelin, the director. Okay, go on.
Thank you. and then the other two, all three projects have a sort of different mood. One of them is titled Summoning, and that's a much quieter sort of evocation of the sea gods or goddesses sort of mood.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The next one is called Transmutation, and that's a kind of sea changes idea. And then the sort of title piece is called Sea Creatures, and that's really sort of hinting at the idea that we're all, you know, we all come from the sea in some way.
Mm-hmm. So did you, did Annie just ask you to be part of this, and then you chose Sea Creatures because here we are at the confluence of the river and the sea?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
I had already been working on a project for the Museum of Water at Lisbon. It fell through because of COVID. And I'm hoping it'll still happen, but I was asked to be part of the environmental biennial for the Lisbon was the International Green City 2020.
Okay, folks, I'm assuming that means Lisbon, Portugal.
Lisbon, Portugal.
Okay.
And anyway, so I had spent a year already working with water imagery.
Okay.
Most of what's going to be in this show will be new because Sarah and I have been collaborating, and, you know, once you get into a collaboration, things get mixed up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the confluence of the Columbia and,
right,
and the sea.
Right, nice.
I know there's that upwelling, so we've had an upwelling between the two of us in a good way.
I love it, yeah.
But I had already been thinking about water a lot because of the Lisbon Commission. And I should let Sarah chime in here because I'm doing all the talking.
I just want a quick question. The locations, I've got the Labor Temple, the American Legion, the Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts, which is on Marine Drive between 11th and 12th, and the Astoria Visual Arts, which is the co-sponsor or the sponsor on 10th and Duane. So are your projections going to be going at all four places the whole time, or is it changing places?
No, they'll be at all four places at the same time.
Okay, so people can go to one and then, yeah, excellent. Okay, this is between 7 to 9 tomorrow evening, folks, in case you just came in. Part of Astoria
right.
Art Walk. Wow. Holy cow. And the weather is going to be just right for it, we know. So, Sarah, where do you come in on the... on the sea creatures?
Yeah, so I guess to kind of back up and let people know about the mobile projection unit. Nanda and I founded it in 2018 and got funding from the Precipice Fund and the Regional Arts and Culture Council to kind of start it off and start the project. So basically we have the gear and expertise to, you know, go around anywhere. We're completely mobile to set up these massive outdoor projection installations. And so we've been doing that in Portland for the last 2 years, both as a curatorial project and a collaborative artistic endeavor between Nanda and I. And we've probably done, I don't know, somewhere in upwards of maybe 30
wow.
installations wow. in the last 2 years.
Okay, I'm very low tech, so I can't quite figure this out. I would have thought the mobile projection unit, the MPU, means that you're present and projecting it, but you're setting up four different projections and they then run by themselves?
Yeah. Well, essentially, we have our unit, as we call it, is basically each of our cars
okay.
has a projector on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last year or so, we've expanded outside of our cars and now just have different projectors and projector mounts that we use in different outdoor settings. So...
Wow.
So now this is definitely one of the larger installations that we've done, being able to be at four sites at the same time.
It's extraordinary.
It takes a lot of production hours.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
But we'll have... Yeah. We don't have clones, but we have a whole cadre of mostly women... who work with us on a regular basis, either as performers or as assistants. So, in addition to Sarah and I, we'll have a couple people helping to run two of the other sites.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That's just sort of on a practical level. That's how that
right.
will work.
Okay. So they're not unattended, right? Well, I think this is quite delightful because, as you may know, or the listeners may know, this is the program that you're on right now is Arts Live and Local from the parking lot. So it's
great.
So it's perfect.
I'm in a parking lot too.
Exactly. So you're going to have your projections. I love it. On top of the car, and I'm sitting in the car. So it goes together beautifully. So, yeah, I've got, apropos of what Sarah said, that MPU, Mobile Projection Unit, has produced installations for, again, PICA, which is the Portland, help me out,
Portland Institute for Contemporary Art.
For Contemporary Art. And then the Virtual Venice Biennial, San Francisco, Hong Kong, Russia, Italy. And
well, the San Francisco, Hong Kong, and Italy, those were my individual projects.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got it all. I've got it all mixed together because it feels so glorious, the whole thing. So now I understand that you incorporated our very own Sparrow Dance Company. How and what? What does that mean?
Well, during COVID, Sarah and I both use a live coding for video program called Isadora.
Nice.
And the creator of Isadora is a computer programmer who was married for a long time to a dancer in Portland.
Of course, Isadora.
He created this programming platform for set designers.
Mm.
It's very, very versatile. And he's a wonderful person. Who I only know remotely, but mm-hmm. I've become a huge admirer of his. Mm-hmm. And during COVID, he was away from his studio because he had been visiting a girlfriend, so he's in an apartment with a laptop. And he realized that nobody could be in the same room together or collaborate anymore in the dance community. So he created a way to take a video input from Skype into this software and use a live video camera into Skype. And you don't, some of the work I've done with that, the people have been in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I sent a webcam to Sparrow Dance, and we had a meet and greet where I showed them around what could do and talked to them about the theme. And then we had a date where they had gathered their dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed them some of the other things that we were working on, and it worked out really well. They were able to use a black box theater. And if I was more familiar with a story, I'd be able to tell you the name of the theater owner that helped make that happen. And so that was all done remotely. And it's the first time that I've done that when people were actually on stage. Most of the time it's been people in their bedrooms because
right.
Everybody's locked up.
Right.
They have a presence at all three of the main sites.
Mm.
And I was telling Sarah or Julia from
Julia Gingrich, yep.
Yeah, a few nights ago
mm-hmm.
that their work is sprinkled into a sort of gamut of people who mm-hmm. are performing, including Sarah Turner.
Mm-hmm. Aha. Uh-huh. What is Sarah Turner doing? Sarah Turner, what are you doing?
I'm also one of the digital performers in the space too, or in the projections. You'll see me. I'll be three stories tall downtown.
Three stories tall. Okay. Well, I watched the trailer, and I felt so fluid, just sort of moving through all of these colors and these masses. But I don't know that I would have recognized any particular person. Sparrow Dance Company, which morphs among various players, but there's Julia is the main choreographer and the director, and then she has the two Sarahs, and they have something, perhaps you've seen it, on the Liberty Astoria virtual page. It's just a five-minute piece. And it was recorded at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. But it's straight out dance. It's quite luscious and fabulous. I recommend everybody check it out. But I see three dancers. And now we're going to see them sort of sampled, it sounds like, into and among all this other people and stuff. What is it you're using? I'm sorry, because I'm so non-technical. And do you, did you folks train in becoming so capable, like the fellow who did that also, in high-tech stuff, in IT, or what is your background that you put all of this into the arts?
I have an MFA in ceramics. So, but I started out as an installation artist, and I started incorporating video, and just over the last 25 years, I've basically mainly self-taught.
Okay.
You know, just taking classes at Open Signal, and before that, Mount Hood Community College.
Wow.
Or Mount Hood Community TV.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, do you have training in technology, or I think we're?
I think I'm also self-taught. Yeah, my career has mainly been as a new media curator and producer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think along the way I've created and managed several new media and video artist residencies, and through that time have definitely collected my own skills and artistic practice along the way. And I think, it's just kind of the practice has grown as
mm-hmm.
we keep growing into these like larger spaces,
mm-hmm.
which is really fun. So, you know, for each installation, we'll get more tools and we'll have to learn a new set of skills. And so we can just like keep growing as we go.
Very,
so.
Very exciting. It also is interesting because, you know, one of the big questions a lot of people say is, but can you make a living at it? And why a lot of people who have been on the show in the past, they are musicians or visual artists, and they talk about dancers, musicians, all of this, when they showed promise, even when they showed promise, their families may have been reluctant to encourage them because, but can you support yourself? And I'm thinking, because I'm at a different age level, different time of life, that there are so many new and exciting areas in the arts that people can participate in and just continue being creative and, as you said, coordinating with one another. And it's a beautiful thing to see. So I love what you're both doing in bringing this to a story. Again, folks, we're talking to Fernanda D'Agostino, who goes by Nanda, I now see. And Sarah is, it's a lot simpler, Sarah Turner. And both of them make up the Portland Mobile Projection Unit. They have brought it or are bringing it to Astoria for Art Walk tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And there will be installations at the Labor Temple, which is on Duane and, not sure what street, 10th, I think?
Yeah, Duane and 10th.
10th, mm-hmm. Okay. The American Legion, which is 12th and Exchange and Duane between there. The Astoria Visual Arts, which is sponsoring all of this and perpetrated the whole thing. Thank you very much, Annie. And that is on 10th and Duane, the big blue building. And Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts on Marine between 11th and 12th. And if you go to any of the galleries, there should be some kind of paperwork telling you where things are happening. So now that you've done this, have you, either of you, spent time in Astoria in the art scene here before?
Yeah, a few times. I'm very familiar with the Sou'wester and Spaceness Festival.
So this would be Sarah speaking. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then I've definitely been down there to Astoria for some other art happenings too. I'm familiar with Liz. I can't think of her last name right now.
Harris.
She goes
Liz
her,
Harris.
Yes, Liz yes. Harris. I believe she has a gallery space. I saw some really
huge,
amazing
space.
Music there a few years ago.
Nice. I suspect I have met you, Sarah Turner. We seem to have hung out at the same places. So
yeah.
And Nanda, is this a new venture for you?
I did work. I've been to Astoria and know a little bit about the art scene here because I was a finalist and part of a sort of initial brainstorming group for the River Walk.
Oh wow, that's a while back. Yes, nice.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, good.
And
good.
I came here multiple times with my partner. I used to make a living doing public artwork, and I had a long time collaborator on that, and the two of us came, you know, probably three or four times down to Astoria to.
Okay.
To meet with that and to, you know, meet people who
Beautiful.
Are knowledgeable. And it's
so
a wonderful place.
It is, and the art scene is happening, folks. Our art walk is tomorrow evening or tomorrow all day. Check out Coast Weekend. You can see everything that's happening. And we are out of time. You are listening. Thank you so much, Nanda, Fernanda D'Agostino, and Sarah Turner. And thank you, KMUN. I think we have time for a little music. This is KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89. Oh, boy. and 89.5. And this is Carol saying, stay engaged, folks. Take back this country. Thanks.